ask Rav David Harris, and it'll take a minute. I'm going to dim these lights so that they don't glare as much. Rav David Harris.
Distinguished Rosh Yeshiva, Hanholas Torah Mesorah, Choshva Chaveirim and friends, it is my pleasure to welcome you to the session Yachas Bein Talmid L'Rav, to be presented by my illustrious Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva Sarbeinu Yisrael Meir HaKohen, a Gaon, it is impossible, in a few short minutes before the Rosh Hashiva addresses us, to even begin to put into perspective the enormous contribution to the development of Torah and B'nai Torah across the length and breadth of this continent that the Rosh Hashiva Shlita has made throughout his 50 years of service on behalf of Klal Yisrael. It is similarly impossible to adequately describe the various tchunos of the Rosh Hashiva. His goyness and amkus and havonas haTorah, his profound insight into Chazal, Kochos HaNefesh, human dynamics, his avoda on Musar, Midos, and Derech Eretz, the Shiva's deep refinement and Adinus HaNefesh, his incredible bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the power of Torah to reach every Yiddish neshama, his boundless love and dedication to Talmidim and to all members of Klal Yisrael. Rosh Hashiva's total mesirus to the Klal, with the sacrifice of every aspect of his life to this singular goal. I would like to focus on one facet of the Rosh Hashiva's Hanhaga, which I have had the zuchus to observe very frequently. It is an approach which we should all strive to emulate. The olam in this room is comprised primarily of people who have made, often upon great personal sacrifice, Habatas Torah, their life's work. We like to think of ourselves as very unselfish, giving up lucrative careers for the sake of avoda on behalf of the klal. We fail to realize that we have not totally escaped from the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. We frequently develop a powerful negiah and bias in favor of the Mossad we are working for. We lose total objectivity to the goal of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How often do we find conflicts between various mostos? How often do we find a conflict between the perceived good of the Mossad versus the good of the Yochid, be it a Rebbe or teacher that perhaps the yeshiva would be better off without, or perhaps a Talmud that the yeshiva would seem to be better off without? How often do we face public relations problems which cannot be solved without hurting someone? When we attempt to resolve such conflicts, is our tshuva, is our drive to genuinely discover the Ratzon Hashem, or is it to protect and safeguard the Mosad? I never cease to marvel that when the yeshiva confronts these difficult issues, the welfare of the yeshiva is simply a component in determining the Das Torah in that situation. There is no negia to protect the yeshiva. So often would lesser people challenge the Rosh Yeshiva, concerned for the immediate goal of Tovas HaYeshiva. And the yeshiva would simply smile and say nothing, demonstrating his only concern is attempting to do what is right. The yeshiva's enormous commitment to Abotzas HaTorah does not stem from any personal agenda. It is based on the deeper motivation of Almanas Lassos to deal with each and every situation that life presents with one goal, to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. How fortunate are we to be able to observe this and in some small measure be inspired to put our focus where it properly belongs. I speak on behalf of all present, and we extend to the Yeshiva Shlita our deepest bracha, barichas yomim, and kochos, to continue to lead and direct Klal Yisrael upon the glorious path of Abotzas HaTorah with the true goal of Kiyum Ratzon Hashem. It is my great covet to present to you at this time the Rosh Yeshiva Shlita.
Thank you, Rabbi Harris. I don't want to contradict Rabbi Harris, but just not to, just to say that I am just a conduit. I have been trying, Beis Hashem, as much as is permitted to attempt to follow the beaten path of my Rebbe Zecheinu Livracha, trying not to make any shinuyim and to project these ideals and the blueprints that he has set up for me, for us to follow, clear cut. And when a problem presents itself, we try to reconstruct Rebbe and what, and ponder just what would he do under these circumstances. My mission tonight, I've been charged to deliver an address about the relationship between our Talmud and our Rebbe. I was told like this, as follows. That usually when I address a meeting of Teo Meser, I speak about what our Rebbe should be. Well, it's only proper to address Taira Mechanchin Mechanchois, how to approach challenges that are presented. This was something new and novel to speak about the Talmud Shel Rebbe. Need to have some Talmud, but a Talmud Shel Rebbe. But of course, I cannot just wander into the relationship of Talmud Shel Rebbe without speaking about the Rebbe. Because sof kol sof, it's the Rebbe who molds the Talmud and who is challenged to produce the Talmud imbued with a proper relationship, no more and no less. So I first have to speak about the Rebbe. The Rebbe has to relate to the student body on every level with concern and love and tolerance and understanding. And that comes across very, very well. There's a seismograph that treasures that upon the heart of the student, how the Rebbe relates to him. And it is the challenge of the Rebbe to produce the proper Talmud. It's in his hands. There's Hashem employing the equipment at his disposal, presenting Torah and Musar and Midos, and building a Talmud that is possessed with a proper relationship to the Rebbe. First, we find that a Rebbe is supposed to be, as I said, mentioned love. He's to consider his Talmidim, every one of them, like his son, like a child. I was told one time that when the altar of Slabodke passed on, and that Vahavom Darkov Narov eulogized him, it was a maspid. And I was told, what could you say about the Goyen, a tzaddik, something that depicts the mountain and presents his being. So that Kovnarov said, the Ralter had 500 Bnei Yechidim. Yeah, father has, parents have a Ben Yochid, there's a different relationship. You have 10 children, it's right out of how much, you have to share it amongst all of them. He had in his Shiva 500 Talmidim, and to each one was a Ben Yochid by him. So then the Rebbe goes on to mold the Talmud and consider him on the level of our brother. As we find when Yaakov Avinu addressed his children when he parted from Lavan, he called them Achim. He called them Echov. And my Medrash says he considered them his brothers. Why? Because Kiboyrim Kimoyesoy, Tzadikim Kimoyesoy, it's the brothers. I dare say that they have not reached the level of Yaakov Avinu. Very high, magnificent level. But it was not to be compared to Yaakov Avinu. But this is, they reached a stage in their life where they were brothers. In other words, they were molded into independent men, standing on their own, thinking by themselves, deliberating, pondering, and coming up with determinations. Now, this is the eventuality of a Talmud that has the love of the Rebbe in terms of a child, and the perspective in molding the Talmud to become Abuya Anach. Reb Nosson Adler, Zechen Alevroche, in his relationship with his Talmud, the Chassam Sefer, at one point in his development, he sent him off on his own. While the Chassam Sefer still wanted to stand by him, sit at his feet, and learn Torah from him, he said, no, you got to be on your own. This is the brother stage. Let us take a spatzir, so to speak, a walk, and see what is a Talmid that has reached deserves the caption of a brother. We know that Bezalel, who was the main architect of the Mishkan, at one point he had a difference of opinion with his Rebbe Meisha Abeinu. Moshe told him to construct the Kelim Nacher the Mishkan. Bezalel determined that the Mishkan should come first and the Kelim second. Let us just envision or vicariously feel the attitude of Bezalel when he approached Moshe. What did Bezalel do? Imagine, Moshe Rabbeinu, who speaks with Piyakvua, who is Mekabul, Teiruf, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His Rebbe tells him, make the Kelim and Acher the Mishkan. Shall we imagine the attitude of Bezalel, which with awe and reverence and the greatest appreciation of Moshe Rabbeinu's superior understanding. Nevertheless, he pondered, he thought, he analyzed, he scrutinized. He used his facilities, his capacity to ponder, what did the Rebbe say? What did the Rebbe mean? Finally, he came to a determination that it seems he doesn't understand. The Mishkan should come first before. That was after the approaching it with the premise, Moshe Rabbeinu certainly is right. Where do I come to challenge his opinion? I am sure that that was his attitude. But I have to understand. I have to know what the Rebbe means. I want to put my head into it. My capacity, my knowledge, my understanding. I want to understand. I don't understand Tyre Rebbe. There should have been the Mishkan first, and when he presented it to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, yes, you're right. This is depicting what a Talmid is, with devotion and appreciation for the superior knowledge and profundity. But ich darf doch verstehen, I am not a child anymore. I have a cup, I have an understanding. I wish you could understand my Rebbe, but I don't understand. Rebbe, tell me. This is the picture, depicts a Talmid that is a brother. When Yehoyosh, the king Yehoyosh, ascended the throne, he was guided by Yehoyada HaKohen, and he followed strictly whatever was prescribed for him. He did Hayosha Bein Hashem through the lifespan of Yehoyada. When Yehoyada passed on, when his Rebbe passed on, he veered away. All the time, Asher Haroi Yehoyada, he did Hayosha Ba'atei Bein Hashem. And the Malbim remarks, he says, you know why this happened? Because he was at Talmid Birshus HaRav. He was directed, and he followed scrupulously, meticulously, exactly what Yehoyada directed him to do. The minute, the moment that Yehoyada passed on, he was left stranded, and he plied the stormy seas of life, and he couldn't find his path, because he did not absorb the tools, he was not molded, he did not gain that understanding what the Rebbe says and why he says it, and do I understand why he says it? Am I ready to implement it? Did I get the tools? Have the Rebbe approached that problem? Will I be able to apply it when I am alone? This was the problem. This was a Talmid B'Shusarav. My Rebbe used to say, Sefarana Talmid B'Shusarav, this is not really a Talmid. Because when the Rebbe goes, he has no hold and no grip on life. He has no direction. A Talmid is the one who is B'Shus Atzbe and guided by the Rebbe. Guided, shown how to think, how to understand, to mold him, his mind, his heart, give him the tools in his hands, and that can only be accomplished by considering him a brother, participating with him in deciphering and decoding, dissecting the problem, the issues at stake, and how we approach it, and how we act towards it, so that the Talmid can be molded, and when he's on his own, will apply those principles that he has learned and gained and gleaned from his Rebbe. And this is what unser Rebbe, my Rebbe, he was my father and my Rebbe, fortunately, and he molded us. Think und tracht. And he conferred upon us the degree of Mensch, you understand, you have a head, you have to use it. Think, ponder, tracht. Let me hear what you say. Let's participate in the resolving the problem here. Let us take a brief glimpse on the other side of the coin. Let us walk with this new Talmid. The Talmid that is a mensch on his own. Er tracht, er thinks, he ponders. The Talmid, Gemara sagt, in Shabbos, as Abaye was told in the name, in Shabbos, that Chofala from the days, Abaye was told in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, a certain halacha, with which he disagreed vehemently, different opinion. Then came another Amere and said that this halacha was given in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He immediately accepted it. Not only that, but he set the claim upon the one who told him to use the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't you tell me before it was Rabbi Yochanan? I lost out so much time in not accepting what you told me. Well, because on his own level, with his own peers, he had a different opinion. As soon as the Rabbi Yochanan said, oh, fartig, accepted, gewaltgeschehen. What's happened to him? Where's the mensch? Where's the eigene machshove? What is it, a Talmid b'shusarav? We just got through saying that a Talmid b'shusarav is not a Talmid. And here, he accepted it fully. How could that be? As we follow Rabbi Kivedia through his wondrous march through Tere, and we see him as he attacks Aloch HaShaile, and his mind was made up, finally Rabbi Kivedia, Gittin HaShaleach, and he had a certain view on Hilchus Ishus Mamish. And he had his das made up. As he searched into our responsa for the Rishenim, he finds that the Ramban seems to disagree with his opinion. He immediately imbibed it, accepted it, and put on and passed the halacha according to the Ramban, because of his superior knowledge, because he submitted to the authority of the Ramban, which he recognized. On the other hand, we follow him, and he speaks about the Ramban as a kasha. Who? He says a teres. He strains his capacity, brings to bear all his knowledge and profundity in the Yam HaTalmud. Maybe this is a terrace. Obviously, there can't be. I don't. Finally, he signs off. This seems to be more like the Talmud that's only Pekaya, that uses his own capacity of understanding. On the other hand, he accepted the Ramban just as Abai accepted Rabbi Yochanan said so. Surrendered completely. His own opinion and thinking collapsed in the face of superior authority. There seems to be a discrepancy. How do we explain that? I think the Indian is Pashat HaBesa. The Indian means like this. The bench has to be taught to think, to ponder, to tracht. Otherwise, it's not a Talmud. And when the Rebbe will be gone, he's just following the dictates. He doesn't know why. He'll never have the tools to be able to implement it with another. When a problem will come up, and will not be able to dissect it and examine it and scrutinize it with the tools that the Rebbe has given him. Yes, he has to do that. However, he recognizes authority. There's an authority greater than I am. And I surrender to supreme authority. How come over here Abba Kileyal said, Lezachisi Lahavin, and threw in the towel, and here he accepted immediately the opinion of the Ramban over his own? The Pshat is Abesa, in my opinion, the Pshat is Pushit. Du darfst verstehen, eben du verstehst nicht, bist du nicht kein Talmid. Because you cannot stand on your own. You can only take the direction of the Rebbe. I know that this is supreme authority. More powerful than mine. And if I can hear the Svarah of my Rebbe, perhaps I would rule incisively different. But my Rebbe holds of this opinion. And my ears, it doesn't pain my ears, it doesn't attack my understanding. I can hear that Svarah. Of course, I would rule differently because overwhelmingly I think the other side is the more correct one. But my Rebbe said something which I can hear, I can understand. Then you have to immediately adapt it, imbibe it, make it part of your Torah, Das Torah thinking. And in any area that will ever come up, this basic principle which you have learned from your Rebbe and accepted his superior Das, you will apply it because you understood it. Now this is the difference. We see now a student, a Talmud, emerging on a pathway, a very dangerous route, walking through life, a narrow path of truth, with the dangerous, devastating canyons on either side of that narrow path. For the problem is, shall I? There's the danger to veer away an iota from this very narrow strip. It's dangerous, spells devastation. It's either I can veer away and say, well, I am a man, and I'm thinking, and my Rebbe gave me that authority, he vested me with that authority, I can think, I can make decisions, I can rule. Well, I can't disagree with that. I have witnessed situations where my Rebbe Talmidim would sometimes say, we disagree with you, Rebbe. Why? Didn't you say that we are men? Didn't you say that we can think? Didn't you say that we can make decisions? Didn't you? Yes, of course it did. But this was an error. See, the Yetzirah, no one finds refuge from the Yetzirah. There is no refuge. The Sotah is always there. Every system has its pitfalls. Oh, Ibn Amench, I can think, I disagree with you. Can you hear it? Did the Talmud think, can you hear it? Can you hear it 10%? Can you hear it 25% this far? Or you can't hear it at all? I want you to hear it. If you don't hear it, I understand. You can't understand. So, that can't say, I don't agree. Since there is a klapei halacha in our Talmud, which is a certain level, can argue with itself. But to understand that he has to apply himself, he has to give the due credit to the Rebbe that he's superior, he's more experienced, he had a bigger Rebbe than you have. Or what might happen in this circumstance is that slowly he'll slip into that and dip into that abyss of walking in the footsteps of the Rebbe, accepting it blindly, deceiving himself to think that he understands what he doesn't understand. Because the Rebbe said so, but he doesn't understand it. He will never be able to derive the principles based in that decision and apply it in similar situations where this principle applies. He will not be able to. When the Rebbe will be gone, he'll be left stranded. We find our Beisai that the Misha Abeinu was about to pass. Gibor Sanhedrin, he advised Yeshua to appoint the 70 skenim that Misha Abeinu had. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Misha and Yeshua, Daber Echod Lo. You don't need 70. That's for the Shiva Mishmizikna Yisrael. You don't need it. Misha Abeinu thought, I needed it. So my Talmud wouldn't need it. So the Mashor is Masbir and he says, Misha Abeinu had the Keach, the Eibushel, endowed him, gifted him with the capacity to lead single handedly the Klal Yisrael. He didn't need any assistance. But it was the fault of the door, Tachonim, Savonim, they needed it. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't lead them because they were Tachonim, Savonim, and needed Shivim Skenim. But the second generation that entered Eretz Yisrael, so the Mashor, they were Pnei Tere, they were more Mekabel. In other words, Yeshua doesn't need it anymore. Because the first generation that came out of Mitzrayim, not that the second generation was more superior to the first generation in the profundity of knowledge and understanding. They wanted superior to them. But since they inherited the legacy of the Deor HaRishon and Deor Deor, so they already were more prone to accept. They were mekablims of the Mashal. They were Bnei Tere who were Mekabel. So this is where we see that on the one hand, what is a Talmud? And what is a Mensch? He's Mekabel. If he doesn't understand, if he cannot decipher it, if he cannot decode it, then he asks, he questions. And he wants to know, Yom Edeinu Rabbeinu, I don't understand it. Could you please tell me, how do you explain it? And if the Rebbe will present something that in the mind of the brother that he has, so to speak, he would have ruled differently even after the explanation. But since his ear is not assaulted and his mind is not destroyed by it, he can hear it 25%. Well, for 25%, my Rebbe has superior knowledge. Then he adapts his whole pattern of thought. And it influences not only the specific ruling, but it has an impact on Kol HaTere Kule because he has adapted to the Rebbe's principles. Because Chasad Nenare Chadu, through Tere, it has an impact on Kol HaTere Kule. If this is the Yashkus and this is the Das Tere, this is the Emes. So it molds him, it casts him in a certain mold of understanding Das Tere properly. And he accepts it. But however, as we had mentioned before, it is a dangerous way, dangerous course. One straying away spells devastation and destruction. falling off into a deep canyon. Either he becomes dips into that stage of acceptance and softness and without need, without the quest to struggle, to work. Amelus Pater, to decipher Tedico. It's easier. It's much simpler. And after all, it's by Rebbe's opinion. Why not? Or he can veer away and say, Ani ve'afsi oit. You have conferred upon us the dignity and the strength and the confidence and the security of anach. I'm not a ben anymore. Not just a ben, I'm anach. And I can voice my opinion and I can disagree. Even when I can hear it 25%, but 75% in my mind dictates a different ruling. I cannot accept it. I think that this is the very important to understand the relationship of a Talmid to a Rebbe, so that he will not be in the same boat with the Hoyosh, that when his Rebbe passed on, he didn't find his way in life. We should be zeche, Abesai, we should be zeche, everybody on his level, to mold Talmidim, to make them understand on whichever level they are. Yes, there is authority behind it. There is to be acceptance behind it. It drives it hard, but with understanding, make sure that the Talmid understands on a certain level, whatever level it is, he understands what the Rebbe is saying, so that he's molded and he will be able to apply it in his life. Thank you very much.